Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff? Only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk. Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
I think you can hear me just fine. I am coming to you live from Highway 105 in Conroe, Texas, about 40 minutes north of Houston, where I have been for the last 4 days, cleaning out a house that a lady hired us to come out here and clean out. And I am excited to tell you about what I've learned and a little bit about my adventures of what happens when you go on the road as a junk removal guy. It is a wild adventure. I mean, it really is. And it's a lot of fun seeing it all come together as you do what you need to do. I'm going to do a number of shout-outs during this show because I'd love to give free publicity to people and companies that do a good job and make our job easier, and they deserve the publicity, and, you know, a good story needs to be told. So it starts with the vehicle that I'm in. I'm in a Chevy pickup truck, nice, big, new, awesome pickup truck. New means it has 32,000 miles on it. It feels like it's brand new. A shout out to Payless Rental Car. I rented this from them at the Houston Hobby Airport on Sunday afternoon, and I've been driving this baby ever since. Now, we had some folks found us on the internet, liked our story, liked what we did, and paid us to come to Conroe, Texas, which I'd never been to before. I wasn't even sure what part of Texas it was in. Like I said, about 40 minutes north of Houston. Been here since Sunday, actually, and I'm cleaning out this house. Now, a lot of times when I go on the road, I will fly into some airport, and you can't just go rent a U-Haul truck or something at the airport. You have to rent pickup trucks, and so I rent the biggest full-size pickup truck that they have. Then I drive to the job. Then I check it out, see what I think. Make a determination on, can I do this job with a pickup truck, or do I need to get some local help? Or sometimes I pay to bring our guys with me on the road. It just depends on the size of the job and the price of the job and all that good stuff. But this particular time, I'm cleaning out a house. The lady that is my contact lives about 45 minutes north of here. Somebody in the family passed away. The house is falling to the jurisdiction of two of the kids. The two kids don't really want to hang on to it, so they're putting it up for sale. And before you do that, you got to get it cleaned out. So yours truly enters the picture. And that's what I'm doing here. So what I have done in 4 days, I have loaded up this pickup truck 23 times, and I have taken it to one of three places, all of which are local here in the Conroe area. And Monday morning when I started doing this, you got to figure out, okay, where's the local dump that doesn't charge an arm and a leg to go in there? Some of these transfer stations are privately run, by big industrial waste companies, let's just say, and they have a monopoly on their particular dump, and so they can charge you $190 as a minimum charge just to drive in with a pickup truck. And back in Montgomery County, Maryland, when I take my pickup truck into the local dump, the transfer station, if it has less than 500 pounds in it, because I'm a resident, it's free, even if it's a commercial job. So pulling into some of these other places and they say, okay, sir, that'll be $195 as a minimum, you know, kills you when it comes to your profit and loss on the job. So I call around and I look up and I check out and I go on the web and et cetera. And thank heavens for a company called GFL, which means Green for Life. They have a transfer station east of Conroe, maybe 10 miles on Highway 105. It's a straight shot to get out there. And for a pickup truck load dumped out there, it's $50.50. And I have been there 7 or 8 times, maybe something like that, maybe more than that, in the last 3 days, 4 days. I'm just coming back from there right now. And I can't tell you how thrilled I was to find out that I could pay $50 for a pickup truck of stuff instead of what can amount to 4 times that to get rid of the same amount of stuff. So hats off to them. There's a wonderful lady named Jan who I just saw about 15 minutes ago, who works in the scale house and really knows her stuff. She's really good at what she does. And she, when you walk up to the window, you need to have a kind of yellow construction hat and a yellow vest in order to dump stuff in the yard or in their facility. And if you don't have those, which I didn't have because I'm on the road, she sells them to you for cheap. So that got me going. And then I just run in and out. It's $50.50 to dump a pickup truck load of stuff. And she has been terrific. She is really nice. She's good at what she does. She actually burns a candle inside the scale house to just give it a scent inside. And so when you walk up to the window, you kind of go, wow, this smells great. I'm going to hang out here for a while. So she's one who creates a nice environment for herself to work in and then kind of spreads that niceness, so to speak, to her customers. And she does a terrific job. When I was calling around on Monday morning, I actually called them and got some information and learned. And then actually I was on the road following and I think I'm going to remember this right, a junk removal business that had a pickup truck pulling a trailer, and it said Mammoth Junk Removal. I called those guys. I ended up talking to the driver that was right in front of me, and he's the one who also said, yeah, go check out GFL. You're headed straight there, and I think you can get in there for like $40 or $50. So that has been my favorite dump. And I have run there numerous times in the last 4 days, and every time it works out great. And that takes me to another part of the business that I'm doing, and that is, and I'm going to have to look it up just to make sure I give you the right name, but the process here is really kind of simple. You basically get all the metal from this place, and they had a lot of metal because we're cleaning out a garage and a, you know, couple other places on the property, and they have all kinds of metal stuff. And so that took me to Texas Port Recycling, scrap metal buyers that are about halfway to GFL Environmental. And so the idea was really kind of simple. You load up the pickup truck with scrap metal first. You go to Texas Port Recycling, they buy the metal from you. Then you go back to the house and you load up a load of junk and you take it over to Jan and GFL and dump it there and pay $50. And what happens is all of the recycling money that you get from the metal is more than paying for the dump fees to get rid of the junk. So recycling is paying for itself, if that makes sense. The first load that I took over to Texas Port Recycling, there was some copper and a bunch of aluminum and some brass inside this garage that was full of all kinds of stuff, furniture, wood pieces. You know how guys have this ego thing where they look at a piece of wood that's left over from some project they did, and they say to themselves, that's a good piece of wood. And so they hold on to it because their ego says, well, one of these days I'm going to use that wood, you know, to build something. So they stick these pieces of wood in the, you know, crevices of their garages and start to fill them up with all these odd-shaped, short and long pieces of wood. And then that wood sits there for 20 years until somebody calls us or somebody like us to come and get rid of it. And there's something to learn here in the recycling / junk removal business. And that is that just because it's a good piece of wood that looks nice doesn't mean that it's good for something. The question is, what's it good for? And if you can't answer that question, toss the wood. Don't hang on to it and say to yourself, one of these days I'm going to do a project with that piece of wood. No, you're not. If the project comes along, suppose you're going to build a doghouse. If the project comes along, you're not going to go look at all your scrap wood and try to piece it together to make a doghouse. Your ego won't let you do that. You're going to go down to Home Depot, buy brand new wood, because you know that's the kind of materials you work with, and you're going to build that doghouse out of brand new wood that you're going to pay not much for, right? Because wood isn't that expensive. And you're going to build a doghouse, and guess what? You're going to end up with brand new scraps of wood, and you're going to hang on to that wood too, because one of these days you're going to build a project that's going to use both of those scraps of wood, because after all, that's, quote, good wood, quote. No, it might look good, but the question is, what's it good for? There are probably lots of typewriters around Conroe, Texas, and in the Houston area that are sitting on people's shelves that actually look good. And somebody could say, well, that's a good typewriter. Well, it might be a good typewriter, but what's it good for? Are you typing letters on typewriters anymore? No, not in decades have you done that. So it's not a question of if it's good. It's a question of what is it good for? And if you can't answer that question and you don't know what it's good for, don't hold on to the stuff, because one of these days you're going to pay somebody like us, or your kids or somebody is going to pay somebody like us to come and clear it out and to do what needs to be done. And you don't want to end up doing that. So anyway, that's just a little reflection of what I'm seeing and kind of what's happening. So anyway, the first amount of metal that I took over to Texas Port Recycling, they paid me $234 for it. Now, that's almost, what, five trips to the county dump there, to GFL, to get rid of stuff? So that was my first trip. Subsequent trips, I've gotten over $100 when I've gone by. This last one, I only got, I think, $30 or $40. But it's great because I go there first. That gives me some cash. I turn right around, and I head back over to the dump to dispose of some other stuff. So that had been my method for the first 2.5 days. And then the other thing that we do, in addition to junking the junk and recycling metal, is we make donations for people. Well, in this house, there's a lot of, not so much furniture, we had a few chairs and stuff, but there are bookcases and small desks and entertainment centers and different types of wooden furniture, tables, nightstands, that kind of thing. Last night, starting at 6 o'clock, between 6 o'clock and 8:30, I loaded the truck 4 times with that kind of furniture and drove it about 3 miles west to Goodwill Industries, where my friend Haley, who was fabulous, helped me get it unloaded and get it donated and got a donation receipt for the client that I'm working for. Four pickup truck loads. I was thrilled to find out that they don't close until 9 p.m. and you can make donations up until about 8:30. So one of those things, I think it was, I don't know what trip number it was, maybe it was trip number three or something, was this big 8-foot high, double wide entertainment center made out of solid wood. That was in the main dining room, and I had taken photos of a lot of this furniture, and when I did my first run taking over just glassware and clothing and basic stuff like that, I called first, talked to the manager, a lady named Christine. She said, yeah, just take photos of it. We do take furniture. Not all the Goodwills take furniture. It's a floor space issue. They all will take, you know, clothing and books and, you know, stuff you can throw into bags and stuff like that, electronics, et cetera. But a lot of them don't take the furniture because they don't have room on the showroom floor for the furniture. So these guys have a big showroom floor and a big donation area, and there was plenty of room to take stuff. And I was thrilled by being able to take four truckloads of bookcases and desks and small desks, stuff like that, and literally just run it back and forth as fast as I could back to Goodwill. That saves me $200 in dump fees. It saves the dump a couple of hundred, the space of having to, you know, get rid of all of this stuff, and everybody wins. And that's the idea. So I was thrilled last night to be able, after work, to do four truckloads of stuff dropped off at Goodwill and to get our clients a donation receipt, which they are thrilled with. So that worked out tremendously. That was a big win as well. And again, hats off to Haley for arranging to, for helping out and helping me unload all this stuff last night. That was great. So I took some photos for the client's purposes, because normally when you do a job like this, you show up with a 12-foot box truck, and this is about five of those. But if you get a pickup truck, you need four pickup trucks to equal one 12-foot box truck. It's a cubic footage kind of thing. It's a math thing. And so I took photos of each pickup truck load that I did so I could show our customers just how much stuff and to justify the cost of doing it and everything like that, just to document what I'm doing. So I sent a text message to my sister out in Utah last night. She and I have a good time. We're only 11 months apart. We've been really good friends for like 60-plus years. And I said, hey, you won't believe what I did today. And I sent her the photos of the 11 truckloads of stuff that I loaded by myself and disposed of, 10 of them, yesterday. And she could not believe it. She was stunned. And got to be honest with you, when I looked at those photos, I thought, how does one guy do all that in one day? I mean, on the road, running back and forth, who in the world has the energy to do that in one day? 11 truckloads of stuff is almost three 12-foot box trucks of stuff loaded up that you also disposed of in the right way, at the right place, all within about a 14-hour day or something like that, maybe 12 or 13-hour day yesterday. So anyway, that's what my life has been like since Monday, and I'm here in Conroe, and I'm going to come back. We'll take a break here for just a second, take like a minute break, and I'll come back and tell you more about what's going on and fill you in on what's happening in my life as a traveling junk removal guy going around the country. Most recently in Conroe, Texas, about 40 minutes north of Houston, where I'm having a ball. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook from Washington, D.C. We'll be back here in about a minute. We'll take a quick break.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, and I am gratefully sitting here in my air-conditioned rental truck at an address on Conroe Street, as a matter of fact, in Conroe, Texas, where I have been cleaning out this house by myself for about 3.5 days. One of the other things I want to talk to you about, I started doing something this week on my phone that I haven't really done before. You know how sometimes you write down, like in a journal, you write down one thing you did that day that made you happy, or maybe, you know, it was a good decision you made that was a financial decision that, you know, you got a bill paid and you weren't sure you were going to be able to pay it or whatever. So I created a little list on my phone, and I go in there, and I've only done this for a few days, but I go in there each day and I write down something I did that day that was significant, that was a smart decision financially. And today's decision, I had originally scheduled to be here in Texas Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I got to divert for a second and tell you how I get here and a little bit kind of give you the bigger picture. But I scheduled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The lady, the client said, yeah, that works for me. That's good. And it was obvious with one guy in a pickup truck in this house and the garage and the shed behind it and the laundry room that getting this all done in a three-day period is probably not going to happen. I made my original flight to go back for Thursday today. I would be in the air right now. It left at about 12:45 from Houston, the hobby. But the problem is if you know, as hard as you worked, I figured out last night when I got back to the hotel that I had done 21 pickup truckloads. I wasn't really sure how many I had done. And the payment we received was for 5 big truckloads of stuff. Well, that's 20 pickup truckloads. So part of me said, I just want to get out of here and get home. I've been on the road for a week. But the job's not done. And if I take off, I got to turn around and come back, right? And finish it. And that's going to require another day of traveling and whatever to do it. But the cool thing about the way that I travel, and one of the reasons I can do jobs around the country, are my friends at Frontier Airlines, where I am a Go Wild Pass member. I'm also a Gold Discount Den Elite member. That's just virtue of flying 20,000 miles on their airline, which is low. That is not a lot of miles. I have friends that have flown 2 million miles on United, and that was as of like 10 years ago. So, but Frontier's pretty good this way. You don't have to fly very much, and they start to give you some benefits. Anyway, the bigger picture here is before I came to Houston, I was in Utah, where I took my daughter and son-in-law and my new granddaughter and my 93-year-old mother and my sister and my brother-in-law. So there were like 6 1/3 of us, if you count the little nipper that's the grandchild. But I took them to the Cheesecake Factory for dinner and paid for it. And it was my treat. And I sent the invitation to Ridge. I have 4 kids out in Utah, and I've got 8 siblings there. and a boatload of nieces and nephews. So there's plenty of family to interact with out there. And I'm out in Washington, D.C., and I've been in Washington for like 35 years. So one of the things I decided to do a couple of months ago was to make a monthly trip to Utah and just do something fun with family. And this first effort at the Cheesecake Factory, I invited my four kids because they're the priority. So I invited four of them to come. I was successful at getting one of them and her spouse and the new baby to come. The other three were not able to come. So then I extended it to my mother, my sister, and some other folks. And I used the Evite electronic, you know, invitation system to send out the invitations. And there's this Cheesecake Factory is in Orem, Utah, which is where I grew up. And it's a new one. And so it was an excuse to go check out the Cheesecake Factory in Utah, the new one. And it was a blast. The problem is the Cheesecake Factory only lets you reserve up to six people at a time. Otherwise, you show up and you wait at least an hour to get a table. So I had six spots for dinner last Saturday night, and we filled them up. And it was great. And then I thought, okay, that was cool. See, I just believe in the world today, it doesn't really matter where you live. If you're in the continental United States, you can get from Boston to San Diego in about 5 to 6 hours. And that is not a big deal. And so with all this family out in Utah, I just thought, you know what, once a month I should go out there and just do something fun. So that was the October Halloween thing. And I even, my brother-in-law took me over to Walmart and I bought some little $4, you know, masks or headdresses or, you know, just little things that you can put on. And I got everybody to put one of these little, you know, devil ears or whatever, devil horns or whatever. Just a couple of wigs, which was great for my brother-in-law who's bald. And we put a big, long black wig on him. Anyway, it was a Halloween party, right? It's an October party. So these guys were all really cool. We all put on a little headdress type thing. Even my little four-month-old granddaughter, we were able to get a little, I think it was like little cat ears on her. And we got a photo of the six and a third of us at the table at the Cheesecake Factory having fun. Now, that's called success. That's big. That's important. That's a highlight. And I'm going to print that out on an 8x10, you know, glossy, frame it, and put it on my wall at home. Next month in November, on the 16th, one of my nephews has the lead in Phantom of the Opera at his high school play. And his younger brother is in the play as well, and I think gets to shoot an arrow at his bigger brother. So I've got a couple of tickets to go to that play, and I contacted my brother. I said, hey, is your family available to go to breakfast the Saturday morning of the play, the day that I'm going to go to the play? He said, yeah, that's a great idea. So I'm going to treat him and his family to breakfast next 15th. And I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a blast, and he's excited. That's going to be my family memory, you know, event for November. And I'm picturing in my mind a few months from now, you know, a year from now, if I just keep doing this once a month with, you know, somebody, I'll have 12 framed pictures, each of a great family memory that is taking place when I live in Washington, D.C. and the rest of them live in Utah. Now, that's kind of cool. And as you think about it, the 16th of November is now only a little more than 2 weeks away. Once a month, I come up with something to do that strengthens family bonds. And when you do that and you do it on a regular basis, you'd be surprised how fast you gain the family memories that you gain. So there's a shout out for some family memory kind of stuff. Anyway, that was last Saturday. I I flew into Salt Lake from Chicago Midway, and I flew to last Friday night, and I flew into Chicago Midway Thursday night from Baltimore. So now you're back to my week. I've been on the road for a week. I left Baltimore Thursday night on a direct flight. Thursday afternoon, a direct flight to Chicago Midway. And because of my membership as a Go Wild Pass member at Frontier, which anybody can be, you pay $600 for an annual membership, and then you fly free for a year. Free means your airfare is 1 cent, and you have to pay the airport taxes for the airports that you use, etc. And it's a confirmed seat. It's not a standby thing. And because of my status as an Elite Gold member, I get the exit row seats. I'm 6'3", so I get the exit row seats. I got plenty of leg room. The seats recline. They're extra padding. It's frankly the best seats on the plane. And I get to board the plane first. So last Thursday, here's a shout out to Frontier Airlines, which I have done for a year and a half on this program because it's such a great deal. And it's one of the main reasons that it allows me to compete anywhere in the country with a local junk removal company because I don't charge people travel expenses. So get this. The flight from Baltimore to Chicago Midway nonstop Thursday afternoon was $15. The flight, and I rented a truck last Thursday early evening from Chicago Midway and drove an hour and a half north to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I did a job for some people in Milwaukee last Friday. That's why I was there. So I did a job in Milwaukee for some really nice folks. That went well. I stay, again, this is a program of just a bunch of shout-outs, really, but I stay at Wyndham Hotels because I get points at Wyndham, and those points accumulate, and then places like Days Inn or Baymont or La Quinta, all Wyndham brands, will let me stay for free for like 7,500 points a night is the cheapest that I've found out there. And I'm a diamond member. That's the highest you can be, I think, for travel points at Wyndham. So when I go on the road like this, my flight to Chicago to do the job in Milwaukee was $15. I rent a truck for, I don't know, $80, something like that. Let's say maybe $100 for a day or something. I drive up to Milwaukee. My hotel stay is free. I do the job up there, a $700 or $800 job. I drive back to Chicago Midway, drop off the truck, hop on a plane. I fly to Salt Lake City through Denver, $25 for that airfare. I get to Salt Lake City Friday night, stay again for free at a hotel. This was a La Quinta that's right there by the Salt Lake City airport. Then if that's not good enough, my sister Lauren lives in South Jordan, Utah, the southern western part of the Salt Lake Valley. And the tracks, basically subway, it's an above-ground system. They call it the tracks, T-R-A-X. That train system has a stop that is 0.3 miles from my sister's home. So for $5... Saturday morning, I buy a day pass on the tracks system, which goes all over the Salt Lake area, and off I go. And I take the tracks out Saturday morning. I take the tracks out to my sister's place. I get there about 1 o'clock. My brother-in-law Brett has gotten a, you know, 5-day trial with one of the newer TV station things that allows him to hook up his laptop and broadcast the BYU football game, which was BYU at Central Florida down in Orlando. my 93-year-old mother is a big, avid BYU sports fan. When her second husband was still alive, she would get the newspaper, and on Monday morning, the first thing she would do is pull out the sports section and read everything about BYU sports, and then give the rest of the paper to my stepfather, Neil, to read whatever he wanted to read. But she got the sports section. So she's an avid BYU fan. So I do a job in Milwaukee on Friday. I travel to Salt Lake City. I have no cost of a hotel stay. I pay $5 for mass transit. I make two changes on the train system and two transfers, and each time the next train that I hop onto is like less than 5 minutes from the train that I got off of. It takes me out. I stop 0.3 mile from my sister's home. I grab my backpack. I walk over. I'm in there at 1 o'clock. The football game starts at 1:30. BYU wins again, which I think put them up to 8-0 for the year. Sole possession of first place in the Big 12 conference. And this is their first year in the Big 12. So that was always fun. I got to watch my 93-year-old mother cheer for her favorite football team. Then we go pick up the little things at Walmart for the dinner we're going to have. We hop in the car. We drive down to Orem. We go to Cheesecake Factory. I have a great dinner there with five and a third members of my family. I go back to my sister's house and say goodbye to everybody, walk 0.3 mile. They offered to drive me. I said, no, you stay here with mom and stuff. That's fine. I walked back. I caught the train. Train takes me back into downtown Salt Lake. By this time, it's about 10:30 or 10:45 at night, so the rest of the trains headed to the airport are not going because nobody's, you know, departing with a flight at midnight. So I spend $20 on an Uber to get me out to the airport because my next flight is another $25, which leaves at 6 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, which is why I went to the airport Saturday night. No sense going to a hotel. I wouldn't have time to go to sleep before I'd have to get up and get back over to the airport. So I go to the airport Saturday night, and lo and behold, when you check in, I love the clear, you know, check-in process. You pay a fee and you go to the front of the line and all that kind of stuff. I hate going to an airport and standing in line. I just hate it. And I pay the $85 or so for the 5-year membership at TSA PreCheck. So when I go to an airport, the last thing I want to do is take my shoes off, take my belt off, and stand in line. Sometimes those lines are monstrously long. Instead, I go to the clear section. They scan my eyes. They check out my ID. I'm in their system. They take me right to the front of the line, and boom, I'm through. One of the best investments I've ever made is the cost of becoming a clear member, plus the TSA PreCheck stuff. So I go to the airport in Salt Lake City, and I'm there Saturday night, and the TSA is closed and the clear is closed because it's late at night and nobody's checking in. So you go through general checking. I go through that. I do that. And as I'm done and I come out with my backpack, over on the right-hand side of the airport in this security area are some kind of oval-shaped couches, so to speak. There's a better description for them, but some places over there. And I went over to one of the guys that was with TSA, and I said, hey, my flight boards at 5 in the morning. This was like 11:30 at night. I said, can I just go sleep on one of these over here for a few hours? He goes, yeah, sleep wherever you want. Well, there you go. So I found now my new place at the Salt Lake Airport. If I have an overnight thing with an early flight, I know where to sleep. It's comfortable. It's quiet. It's out of the way. And I don't have to listen to announcements being made all the time because it's in the TSA area. So I went over there and slept there. I set my alarm for like 4:30 in the morning. Went over to the terminal, hopped on the flight. It was $25. And it takes me back to Denver because it's Frontier and that's where they're headquartered. I immediately come off the plane and They clear the plane off, and I turn right around to get right back on the same plane. That brings me to Houston. I get into Houston about 12:30 in the afternoon on Sunday, rent the car, don't know where I'm going to stay, just head up to Conroe, do a quick search with my Wyndham app, find the hotel, and for 7,500 points, which is cheap, I check into my hotel room with a king-size bed, non-smoking room. There you go. So you're getting a sense of what it's like to be a junk removal guy on the road. There are not a lot of us out doing this, but I made it, and this will. I'm now in Houston. I've been here since Monday, and I'll come back. We're going to take another break for a minute here on the Junk Refund Show. I'll come back and tell you more about what I've learned and about the neighborhood that I'm in and some tips with junk removal and how to do it and how to do it smart. I'm your host, Alan Cook. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on BBSRadio.com.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, from Washington, D.C., via Conroe, Texas, where I am sitting here on Conroe Street, about to go in and load up this pickup truck some more times to finish off a house that will be done probably by tonight. I was originally hoping to be out of here by about 12:30 today, be on a flight headed back to Washington, D.C. That flight, by the way, is $24 if you're a gold discount den, go wild pass member on Frontier, which anybody can be. It's $600 for a year. It's $300 for half a year. And the flight from Houston back to Washington, D.C., is $25. And it's going to be kind of fun. But I was supposed to leave I actually booked a flight for $24 and some cents that was going to leave at 12:30 today, which if I had done, I would not be doing this show right now. But I needed to stay, and this was the decision I put in my little journal today of something smart that I did today. The next flight that leaves with those discounted fares from Houston Hobby, that takes me back to Washington, D.C., leaves at 8:30 tomorrow night. So this morning, after working 13 or 14-hour day yesterday, this morning I just looked at the options and I went, you know, the right thing to do, especially when you've traveled halfway across the country, is finish this job and get this done and don't have to worry about coming back again, you know, some other time or next week or something. Just stay here, get it done. And it turns out it's going to be an extra about $700 to finish this off, because we're ending up taking more stuff away than we thought when we did the video estimate for her a couple weeks ago. But she's fine with that. She's going to get it all done. Then they can put the home on the market and everybody's happy. So I bought myself some time. And I just put down today for the smart decision I made financially was to extend my flight for a day. Interestingly enough, when you go in and you book that flight, the Frontier Airlines app tells you what you saved over the regular retail price. Do you know I saved $400 by booking it the way I did, by being a gold pass, a Go Wild Pass member. By booking it that way, confirmed seat, exit row, $25, and I fly out of here tomorrow at 8:30 at night, which gives me plenty of time, and I'm going to make an extra $700 by staying here in Conroe for an extra 24 hours. Plus, I get to do the radio show. So there you go. Everything's good. Now, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here in the driveway. I backed into this driveway. Right across from me, there's a home here at 107 Conroe Street in Conroe, Texas. And the couple that owns this home, I'm going to say a little bit of an elderly couple, are out in front kind of walking around the yard with their dogs. And they have here a beautiful Terra mansion from Gone with the Wind kind of home. And some people have been here working on it this week. And in fact, when I first attacked the garage on Monday morning, there are some tools here. There were some chains, metal chains. There was a thing called a come-along. There was another one of those come-alongs that are bigger. There were some power tools. And these guys across the street from me had some folks over there doing some drywall work. And so as I pulled out of the driveway to take one of the loads away, I just said to them, hey, by the way, I've got some tools over here that I'm trying to sell. Because if I sell some of this stuff, the lady that hired me gets some of the money. Well, those guys came right across the street, checked it out, and bought $150 worth of tools from me. Right then. They were thrilled. I was thrilled. The lady was thrilled. Everybody wins. And instead of taking those tools to a recycle or donate place, they end up going home with my amigos, my three amigos, who came over and went through the garage and found some stuff that they wanted. So everybody wins. And that's the thing that sets us apart, is that if we sell some of this stuff, we give some of the money back to the people that hired us. So that's kind of cool. I want to do another shout out to somebody that I've never met. There is a realtor here in the Conroe, Texas area named Leslie Castillo, C-A-S-T-I-L-L-O. I have driven past her billboard. She has a large billboard on Highway 105 as you're going east towards the GFL transfer station. She has a billboard there. She's a really pretty lady. She's a younger lady, and it was a very good idea, in my opinion, for her to put up a billboard with her picture on it, because it is an eye-catching billboard. With all due respect to these personal injury attorneys who have billboards all over the country, I didn't realize until I saw Leslie's billboard maybe the second or third time, she's a realtor. It says, Leslie Castillo, your realtor and loan partner. When I drove past that sign again about an hour ago, and I did yesterday when I think it was yesterday, as I drove past it, you know, for the third or fourth time, I sent her a text message and I just said, hey, your sign looks great. We work with realtors all over the country. Here's what we do. You know, we're doing a job right now in Conroe. Call me or let me know if we can ever help you. And she was great. She gave me an instant reply. Thank you so much. That's awesome. And I sent her another text that just kind of said, here's what we do that explains what we do. Well, as I'm driving out to the dump about it and have her on the show, if possible, right? I know it's short notice, but I was impressed with her billboard and the fact that it says on the billboard that she's, you know, habla español. She speaks Spanish. And I was going to ask her about, not only is she a realtor, but she's a loan partner. That's better than just being a realtor. And I was going to ask her what that's all about. But anyway, this is a shout out to Leslie Castillo, C-A-S-T-I, to give her a call if you have any real estate or loan needs. Here's her phone number because it's up on the billboard, 936-444-7996. Again, that's Leslie Castillo, C-A-S-T-I-L-L-O, your realtor and loan partner, 936-444-7996. And if you call her, tell her the junk removal guy from Washington, D.C. referred you. And I hope everything goes well and that it works out for you. I think this the thing that caught my eye, it's a very good idea to let people know you're in business. And in the Washington, D.C. area, we don't do billboards around the Beltway out there. We do adopt a highway signs. And I'm in the process of getting three of those on the Beltway in Washington, D.C. by Tyson's Corner, because I have this bias against my fellow competitors who like to print up yard signs and stick them in the medians and alongside the roadways all over our county. And then what happens is, and they invariably get run over by a lawnmower, or they get picked up by city crews who are supposed to clean up all the signs that are illegally placed in various places around the county, or they end up out in the middle of the street and people drive over them and possibly pop a tire or whatever. And the irony of it is, here are some of my competitors whose job is like mine. Our job is to clean up the county, not to clutter it up. And yet here we are, these guys, sticking yard signs all over the place that eventually have got to go to a landfill, and someone else has got to make that happen. And there's more and more of these out there. It's kind of like a war of yard signs that the junk removal companies are doing. You'll pull up to an intersection in Montgomery County, Maryland, there'll be three different junk removal companies advertising their services. Now, isn't that ironic? We're supposed to be cleaning up the county, and instead we're cluttering up the county with our signs all over the streets. Isn't that ironic? So I'm more a big fan of pay a few bucks each month in the Adopt a Highway program, where $250,000 people are going to drive by that sign every day. 500,000 people will see it because I got one on both sides of the freeway, two on one side and one on the other side in production right now. So more people are going to see it, but the fee that I pay every month goes to keep about a mile stretch of the freeway clutter-free. Now, that's a better move for a junk removal company. And I just have this bias against sticking yard signs where they're not supposed to be, on someone else's property or public property. We've had a couple of these stuck on our church front lawn, you know, and we've had to remove them, and then it just creates work for other people. And I just think it's a bad move for the junk removal companies to be spreading their yard signs all over town. It's like they don't have any other way of thinking about how to advertise their business. And so I wanted to kind of leapfrog over that and do something smarter. And I can't get a big billboard like Leslie Castillo can in Conroe as a realtor, but I can get some Adopt-a-Highway signs, which I've done. And I'm thrilled because there aren't that many spots available. And now probably 500,000 people a day are going to see my sign, right? That's a great move. And I'm thrilled to be able to do that. So anyway, I'm having fun here in Conroe, Texas, cleaning out this house, which I'm going to jump back out and start up again. So I'm trying to get it done tonight if possible. Quick shout out, maybe a final comment here to Freddie Freeman of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who won last night the MVP of the World Series when the Dodgers came back from a 5-0 deficit to beat the New York Yankees in the Bronx 7-6. And to take that series 4-1. Congratulations to the Dodgers. My sister is a big Yankees fan, and so she and I have been watching these games in different parts of the country and kind of texting each other with updates and our thoughts about what was going on. But the reason I mentioned Freddie is that last night he was presented the trophy for being the most valuable player in the World Series. That's a big deal. I think in 4 or 5 consecutive playoff games, including the World Series, he hit a home run. And he has just played his heart out and has done a great job. He's been a professional baseball player for 15 years, most of that with the Atlanta Braves. Last 4 or 5 years, something like that, with the LA Dodgers. The reason I'm talking about him is not only to congratulate him for being the MVP of the World Series, that's great, but when the announcer there down on the field after the game was over and the trophy presentation was taking place, handed him the MVP trophy, and then asked him, how do you feel about this trophy? He immediately turned his head behind him to find the World Series trophy that the team gets, and he points to that trophy, and he says, that's what it's all about. He said, it's great being named the MVP, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is that team win for that trophy right there, and he points to the World Series trophy, and then they hand it to him, and he holds it up over his head, and the crowd, the visiting crowd of LA Dodgers fans goes nuts. Now, that's a good guy who's focused. It's not about me. It's about us. And it's about what we accomplished together as a team, not about what I have done individually in this effort. That's a really good, focused guy who is not out looking for attention. He's deferring it to other people, particularly to his team. And that's a great guy. So hats off to Freddie Freeman of the Los Angeles Dodgers for being a class act and by the way, World Series most valuable player. He just kept hitting the ball out of the park and made some great defensive plays as well. Well, folks, it's October 31st, 2024. Happy Halloween to everybody out there. Hope you have a great time. I'm going to go back to loading up the pickup truck for the 24th time in 4 days. And I will probably load this sucker 3 or 4 more times today by the time I'm done. But life is great. I hope your life is an adventure. If it's not, come join me on a junk removal job somewhere in the country, and I'll show you what adventure really is. And if you're in the Conroe, Texas area and you're bored, come drive by 107 Conroe Street and check out the white mansion with the black shutters on the windows, and you'll see what I mean about this is like Gone with the Wind redone. It just really looks good, and they're doing a great job. So hats off to those people, whoever they are. I told them when I pulled out of the driveway yesterday how impressed I was with the way their house looks, and they seem to appreciate it. Thanks, as always, to our friends at bbsradio.com, Don and Doug, who do a great job, and just love working with these guys, being on their network. They do a tremendous job, and they deserve the shout-out for all the good work that they do every week. So we're having fun, and we'll see you next week on the Junk Refund Show. Who knows where I'll be? But it's been fun being on the road this week, and I can't wait to finish this job up and go kick back at the hotel and order some kind of a Halloween pizza from somebody. We'll see what we can do. Thanks, folks. Have a great life. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.